Good morning and welcome to our service. Today, the Word of God focuses our attention on the family. We look to the Lord for His blessing upon our worship today. Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather together this morning in Your presence, grant that we might humbly confess our sins and rejoice in Your grace. Open our hearts to hear the word that You bring us and move us then to apply that message to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn is 791, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. And please note on the fifth stanza, please rise for the singing of that stanza. We continue with our liturgy in the middle of page 2, and we conduct the service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in your thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, we may approach the throne to find grace to help in time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. O God, you rule over all things in wisdom and kindness. Take away everything that may be harmful and give us whatever is good. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading is from the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. And we see how Abram handled a very difficult situation in his family. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who was his nephew, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." The second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 3 to 8. And here is a section that deals with a very sad situation in the family. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he made them, he who made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" He said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. We join in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, hymn 862, O Bless the House. Please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace, mercy, and peace be given to you from Jesus, our elder brother, and from our Heavenly Father. Amen. Those words of our Lord that we consider this morning are taken from the book of the Psalms, Psalm 128, verses 1 to 4. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose blessings we seek for our families, dear fellow redeemed, how would you characterize your family life? Would you say that it's a happy one? And thinking about whether or not happiness is an apt description of your family life, we understand that there's no family in this world that is absolutely perfect, without any problems or difficulties at all. There are all manner of problems, stresses, and strains that can put a damper on having happiness of life. Still, in spite of all the difficulties that buffet a family's home, with the gracious help and blessing of the Lord, we can experience some measure of happiness. Look at the case in today's Old Testament Bible reading. Strife arose in the family when there was a dispute between Abram, his herdsman, and Lot and his herdsman, because they had so many animals and the land was crowding them together, and they were having a dispute in the family because of it. However, that strife was removed when Abram, moved by the Spirit of God, made a loving, selfless gesture of offering Lot, "Dear nephew, you choose the land that you want to live on with your workers and herds, and I'll take what's left." Can you think of a more generous way of approaching a strife like that? Uncle, an elder man, says to the younger man, "You choose. You get to choose what you want, and I'll take what's left." And so he diffused the strife by showing loving, caring, and selfless spirit towards his nephew and their family. This is what's needed in our homes when strife arises. Not thinking of ourselves, but thinking of others first. That would help to remove strife that arises in the home. Our gospel reading reminds us of how happiness can be lost in a home when, through sinful behavior, marriages end in divorce and thus break up the family, and there's no end of fallout that comes as a result of a divorce. You've probably heard of situations where the children, they wonder, "Did I do something wrong? Was I guilty of something that caused the marriage to fall apart?" They feel burdened by guilt, even though they may not have had anything to do with the divorce. Here too, the Spirit of God working through the Word is needed to preserve and promote the marriage union, which is supposed to be a lifelong union, and provide healing and restoration whenever families have broken apart. For the sake of promoting happiness in the home, our sermon text reveals some helpful ingredients. These words of God are directed to the head of the family, the father, husband, and to the wife, as well as to the children. That is, to all of us. That he wants us to listen to what his word has to say, take it to heart, and apply it in our lives. First of all, it would be helpful to dispel some faulty and vain thinking as to what can make for happiness in the home. Many are the families that have the deceived way of thinking that happiness can be found when you are people who are getting ahead in the world, such as having a good paying job, nice home to live in, new car to drive, and money to be able to go and do some of the fun things in life. However, when these aspirations have been achieved, the kind of happiness they bring are not very lasting. They're not very satisfying. Some years ago, I was serving a congregation in a small village called Milston, Wisconsin. and there was a family that lived out in the country. And when I drove up to the house, it didn't look very well. The house didn't look in very good condition. I don't think the outside had a paint job for some years. It was kind of falling apart. And went into the home, and the house was heated by a potbelly stove. And even that was not in very good condition. No indoor plumbing. And yet I tell you this, that I have not found such content and happy people in all my life. These are people who knew what really was important in their life, not stuff, but their life with God and His blessings. How is it that the father, the mother, and the whole family can find true happiness of life? The psalmist reveals to us some important elements in this regard. In the opening words of the psalm, he gets right to the point of the matter by declaring, "Blessed or happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways." Everyone is truly happy when they look upon the Lord and His word with the highest regard and respect, and with a believing heart and a loving spirit, they embrace God's word and they put it to practice in their lives, in their daily lives, in the home. As each of our family members have this kind of attitude and dedication to the Lord and His ways, we'll not only experience happiness of life in the home, but we'll also be able to be a source of joy and happiness to one another. The psalmist illustrates this by speaking of the devoted walk with God that each of the family members should have, starting with the father. The psalmist says, "When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you." This points to the leadership role that the father and husband has as the head of the family. He has a special calling from the Lord to look out for and care for the welfare of his family. This Bible passage made specific reference to the father's responsibility of diligently providing for the support of his wife and his children and wherewithal. Such is the case, of course, when jobs are available and the father is able to work. The Word of God elsewhere further reveals that the head of the family is also to treat his wife and the mother of the children with honor, love, and respect. And the kind of love that he's to show his wife is not it's not talking about that romantic, emotional kind of love. No, it's talking about the highest form of love, what Scripture in the New Testament refers to as agape love. This is the self-giving, self-sacrificing kind of love. In this spirit of love, he makes a lifelong commitment of being concerned about the well-being of his wife and his family. In his letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul points to Jesus as a role model for the father and mother to follow. It shows how Jesus had such a great love for the church, which is referred to as kind of like his wife. Self-giving, self-sacrificing. Everything that Jesus did was for the good of others. Never had thought of concern for himself, always for the good of others. And that love that he showed, that selfless, sacrificial love, even went to the point of laying down his life for the world, for our eternal salvation. In the home, the father is the spiritual head of the family, who takes a leading role in the spiritual upbringing of the children. As such, he strives to diligently teach, discipline, and train them in the saving ways and truths of the Lord. And when, by the grace of God, a father is enabled to faithfully carry out his duties for the good of the family, his heart rejoices with joy. The children and the wife, in turn, experience happiness of heart and have a grateful spirit for having such a loving, caring husband and father who lives for the benefit of the family. As for the wife and mother of the family, the psalmist writes, "Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house." In the land where the psalmist lived, the grapevine was highly cherished as being very valuable because it was very bountiful and had a useful fruit. Using this symbolic picture from nature, the psalmist tells of the family being highly blessed when the wife and mother is like a fruitful vine in the very heart of the house. The fruitfulness of the wife may include bearing children into this world, if God should so graciously enable a woman to give birth to children. But certainly it is the couple that views children as precious gifts and blessings from God who will experience many and various joys in the home. The expression of the wife being like a fruitful vine is not only referring to bearing of children. It also points to other kinds of fruitfulness that benefit the family. She's like a fruitful vine in the very heart of the house when she strives to promote a healthy, comfortable, warm, and loving environment in the home for the entire family. A home where the tender youth are nurtured and cared for, where their older offspring are given godly advice and wise counsel and are shown patience and understanding, and a home where the husband has a wife who is committed to be a lifelong companion as a helpmeet, who endeavors to treat her husband with honor, love, and respect. The book of Proverbs has this to say about a godly wife and mother. "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband shall safely trust her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." When a husband and children recognize the wife and mother showing such loving devotion to them, they rejoice with joy and consider themselves to be highly blessed by God. And like the husband, the wife also experiences gladness of heart when she is conscious of being able to carry out her God-given duties for the good of the family and for their blessing. Finally, concerning the children, the psalmist says, "Your children are like olive plants all around your table." The olive plant, like the grapevines, were also very useful and valuable and treasured plants in Palestine. Keeping this symbolic picture in mind, it makes parents very happy to find their children like an olive plant rather than like a noxious, poisonous weed. Even as olive plants draw in the food and nutrients through the roots in order to bear fruit, so also Christian parents greatly desire to find their children being receptive to the nourishment of God's word and bear fruit by living godly lives, following the ways of the Lord. They're delighted with joy to see their children grow in knowledge and faith in their Savior Jesus, and out of love bear fruit by their lives following the ways of the Lord. But you know what makes parents the happiest with regard to their children is when, by the grace of God, these children are preserved in the faith throughout their lives to the very end, so that together, when we depart this life, we'll be able to be a part of that grand family reunion in a world where there is perfect joy that lasts forever, that is in heaven. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord, declares the psalmist. Yes, each and every member of the family will be blessed when all of us show high regard and respect for the Lord and His Word, and we follow it, we put it into practice in our daily lives in the home. This is what makes for happiness in the home. As mentioned at the outset, the experience of happiness in the family, of course, will never be perfect or constant. Even though we strive always to fulfill our duties in the family and carry out our roles that God has given us to perform, yet because of our imperfect and sinful nature, we will many times fail and fall short of all that God expects of us in the family home. But thanks be to God who hears our prayers and grants our petitions when we plead to Him for mercy, when we call upon Him to forgive us for Jesus' sake. And in this regard, we pray together with the psalmist, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit." Where there are shortcomings and failings, there will be unhappiness in the home. But because of Jesus, we can find joy in the knowledge of God's mercy and His forgiveness. You know, in doing some marital counseling, premarital, I should say, one of the things that I point out to a young man and woman, or an older man and woman, whatever the case may be, one of the most important part of marriage is to be able to forgive. There's no two perfect people in a marriage. We all fail. But by the grace of God, when we are sinned against, we forgive one another. That helps to bless a marriage. But not only a marriage, but a whole family. Having a forgiving spirit toward each other. That makes for happiness in the home. May God grant us the grace to be faithful and dutiful spouses, parents, and children, and by God's rich grace and mercy, be blessed with a happy home. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the hymn 700, Love Divine, O Love Excelling. Please rise for prayer. O O God, King Eternal, our light and salvation, we, your children, seek you now in prayer and ask you to rest your hand in benediction upon us. Bless us, O Lord, with such faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may believe in him with all our hearts and, trusting alone in his merits, may have the assurance of everlasting life. Grant us grace to bring forth the fruits of faith in our lives for your greater glory. Keep us ever within your care. Defend us in all times of danger and save us in every peril. Keep us safe from earthquake and storm, from hatred and war, from tyranny and persecution, from famine and disease, from corruption and rebellion. Make your face to shine upon true believers everywhere, so that through our labor, the light of your truth may shine in all the world, that your way may be known upon earth and your saving health among all nations. Let all those who bear witness to your name remain true to your word and live their lives in all godliness and purity. Be gracious to all our families, that our children may grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Give your Holy Spirit to the fathers and mothers among us, so that they may be equipped with greater knowledge of your word and live in grateful obedience to it. Dear Lord, remember all who suffer sickness or sorrow, the infirmities of age or the weariness of toil, separation from loved ones or uncertainties in decision, misunderstanding or bitterness, or any other adversity. Grant them your peace. Lord, show yourself to them as an ever-present help in time of need, giving them wisdom and understanding, wholeness of mind and body, courage and hope. These requests we bring to you, O Lord. We ask for them not on the basis of our own worthiness, but rather on the basis of Christ's perfect life and sacrificial death in our place. This we pray in his name. And in his name we also join to pray that prayer which he has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive with believing hearts the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please be seated. We conclude our service with a final hymn, hymn 924, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Good morning. Following the service today, the church council will be meeting in the pastor's office. Next Sunday, I'd like to ask the VBS staff to meet after the worship service. Please note the upcoming Vacation Bible School. Offer your prayers for it. If you know of any young child that'd like to join us, please invite them. The final Sunday of the month, we have our church picnic at Cuesta Park in Mountain View. Ladies, also please take note of the invitation to a women's retreat in South Dakota in September. That's a good time of year in South Dakota. May God and His grace be with you always.